بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
In the last session we were discussing about the certain events of the caliphate of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan رضي الله عنه. We were in the wake of the last events of his caliphate which were leading to his martyrdom. As we had referred before that despite all inquiries and all meetings which were held in Medina and then in Mecca, there was no any complaint came forward, or there was no any accusation leveled against any governor of any territory in these meetings and in these gatherings of Medina as well as Mecca. So now the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, after attending the meeting at the eve of Hajj in Mecca, and after finding no complaint from anyone against any governor, he was then deliberating over the issue, and a team of the members was also deliberating on the issue that what is the real cause that the letters are being written against the governors, and when the things are checked out, there is no such complaint in fact or in reality found from anyone. So during this deliberation of the committee, it took a long time. In the same meeting, the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu gave his historic remarks that is to be remembered. He said that the trouble is bound to come. This was his historical remarks which he said, which concluded the meeting of the governors with the Caliph in Mecca at the eve of Hajj. Once again I repeat, he said that the trouble is bound to come. I don't want the blame to be put on me. This is what his remarks were, that the trouble is bound to come, but I don't want the blame to be leveled against me. That means that he had known that there are certain elements who are working against him personally, against him in person. There is nothing to do with the problems of this governorship or the complaints or anything else. It is only I am the one who has been targeted by a certain group and certain people, and they are hiddenly working and conspiring against myself, against my position, against my life even. And that's what he said, that the trouble is bound to come. That means he had realized and he had felt himself that the things are now not in control, and they are now moving ahead from his from the control of the caliphate itself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also told in his lifetime that so long as the Caliph Uthman is alive, the Muslim Ummah will remain united, and soon after his martyrdom, this Muslim Ummah will also be disunited. And the same happened, that right after his martyrdom, the Muslim Ummah divided into groups, and the unity of the Muslim Ummah was broken. And since that time till today and till on the Day of Judgment, this Muslim Ummah will never be able to get united as it was during the time of Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu ajma'in. That was what the Prophet had said himself in his remarkable and important hadith. That is a very important thing that one should understand and realize, what is the significance, what is the great importance of the personality of Caliph Uthman, that so long as he was alive, the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim never raised sword against Muslim. The sword never struck of Muslim against Muslim. Fight never happened between the Muslims. so long that during the life till the assassination of the Caliph Usman, as the Prophet had said that after the assassination of Usman, the Muslim Ummah will never be able to stand united till the end of the world. And that's what had happened. And the whole history right after the assassination of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu is witness that the Muslim could not remain united, and the Muslim could not remain safe from the swords of their own community, from the swords of other Muslims, from the attacks of other Muslims, from the invasions of other Muslims, from the atrocities of other Muslims. And this way, right from the day of his assassination, the Muslims were divided into groups, and these groups ultimately fell into fights, and these fights ultimately led to the sectarianism and led to the division of the further groups of the Muslim Ummah, which now still today, the effects of those of that assassination can be felt. The effects of the assassination of the Caliph Usman radiallahu anhu can be felt even today, and that will be felt till the day of judgment. That effect of assassination of the blood of Usman is not to be any way offset. That effect is lasting right from his assassination till the day of judgment. That the Muslim Ummah has never been able to gain that unity which once it had enjoyed in the time of Abu Bakr, in the time of Umar, in the time of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu ajma'in. May Allah give us the sense of understanding to that in the right direction, in the right perspective of the events which took place in the history of the Islam. In this way, we could be able to guide at least people to come to the to right understanding, to come to the right to right position, and to come to right conclusion, so that we could at least seek salvation on the day of judgment by understanding the things in their own in their right perspective. This is what is required for the Muslim to really realize through his understanding of the course of history, through the understanding of the Islamic events, and through the understanding of the Islamic developments which took place during the reigns of the caliphs, and during the particularly the reign of the Caliph of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, who was oppressed, who was victimized, and who was deprived once even of water, because the supply of water was also cut off after his house was besieged. That will be inshallah, we will see this later in details. Now, the point is that as I told you, that a meeting in Makkah was concluded. The meeting which was held in Makkah of all the governors, as was ordered by the Caliph, to come and along with them for the complainants to come and to lodge their complaints if they have against any governor. But just as such, there was no complaint came forward from any quarter, from any side of the meeting. And after a long deliberation of the Muslim in the meeting, there could not come any concrete solution. So the remarks of the Caliph concluded the meeting, and the remarks were, as I referred before, that the trouble is bound to come, but I don't want the blame to be put on me. So this way, the meeting in Makkah was then concluded, and the people left for their respective places. The governor also left for their respective places, and the people also left for their respective places. And this way, this was the last meeting. This was the last meeting which was held in the lifetime of the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Or this was the last effort which the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu had put to try to bring the situation back into the control and he had shown to the world that he was no way accused of anything, and that meeting, that historical meeting, there was not even a single complaint which cleared his position, as well as the position of his governor appointed by him, that not a single complaint was lodged. That proves, that signifies that the appointment of the caliph, of the governors, and the position of the caliph was quite clear. With this, with the fact that not a single complaint was found, so that means that caliph, at least before his assassination, had opportunity to show to the people and to the world and to the history that he and his governors were not labeled or were not leveled with any accusation or complaint in the meeting held in 35th in Makkah after the Hajj was performed. Now the caliph now moved also. He also left Makkah for Medina. When he came to Medina, he had with him some companions or some governors who had accompanied him from Makkah to Medina, like Muawiyah bin Sufyan had also accompanied the caliph. And similarly, Amr bin As had also been there with the caliph in Medina. So these governors had accompanied the caliph in Medina. In Medina, another gathering was held so that the deliberation or the understanding could be developed with the people of Medina in particular, who were the essence of the caliphate, or who were the essence of the whole Muslim Ummah, or who were the essence of the whole Muslim community, or who were the essence of the whole caliphate. So in this gathering, a great companions like Ali radiallahu anhu and other companions were also present. In this gathering, Amin Muawiyah stood first, and he said to on behalf of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu that since the man who was elected by your consent has grown older and is now a burden on his shoulder to run the caliphate, but yet if anyone has in his, to speak his mind, he is welcome, he could speak, so that we could sort out some way or the other how to pave the way out of this troubled situation. But he also added, Amir Muawiyah also added, but if someone is thinking someone is in the greed of caliphate, so let it be known to him that he will turn back from this creed. While this remarks of Amir Muawiyah in fact angered some of the companions, and Ali radiallahu anhu, after listening this remarks, stood up and rebuked Amir Muawiyah, and then he and that the way he sat down, and this way the next step was that Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he himself stood up, and he then tried to explain his position. He said that although Abu Bakr and Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhuma used to be cautious with reference to their relatives, and I had been favorable and have been very much I have been in help of my relatives, yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also been himself very much kind to his relatives and very much concerned for his relatives. So I have also been concerned to my relatives and have been helping my because my relatives are poor, so I have been helping them all the way long. So if it is he further added that I am ready to abandon this my practice if this practice of mine is proved invalid according to Sharia. So this he added, this was the remarks of the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, who then sat back. And this way, the remarks of the Caliph Usman bin Affan was very significant, that he only raised his point of his helping and assisting his poor relatives, which has been a cause of the dissension among the people as well, that why Usman bin Affan has been favoring his relatives as such by giving them abundant gifts and precious gifts and things so like that. So he clarified that this actually have been doing in pursuance of the Prophet's practice, as he was himself very kind and very helpful for his relatives. So I have been also, yet he also said, although comparing me with Abu Bakr and Umar, so they were really in fact cautious concerning the relatives, but I have been more kind to them as following and as finding the Prophet being kind to his relatives and helping them as well. So my relatives are poor, so I also been helping them. But he further added that I am ready to abandon this practice as well if it is proved to be invalid in the light of Sharia. So it was a very significant his significant speech which he had made in explaining his position. Now when he sat and the gathering from the gathering, now people started one by one posing some objection on his certain acts, which he started responding with full clarification, so that the people who had some kind of reservation could have opportunity to be clarified, to receive clarification from Usman bin Affan radhiyallahu anhu, the Caliph of the Islamic of the Muslim Ummah. Alhamdulillah. One of the objection of the individual who stood and posed was that Abdullah bin Sa'id, the one who has been the governor of Egypt. Who was the governor of Egypt? He was given 1/5 of the booty or the spoils of war. So there was objection that why he was given 1/5 of the booty to governor of Egypt Abdullah bin Sa'd. The Caliph Usman bin Affan gave his reply, clarifying the supposition that he had given the governor Abdullah bin Sa'd 1/5 of the 1/5 which was prescribed for the state. So, which was allotted for Allah and His Prophet and his relatives and the orphans and poor people. So this was what the Surah Al-Fath, that 1/5 of the spoil of war is not for the soldiers, but is for the public exchequer, for the public treasury. So he has given that from the 1/5, which was not for any soldier, but that was reserved, and that was reserved for the public Baitul Mal. So he had given to the governor of Egypt for his services through that way, which has been the practice in the time of Abu Bakr as well as Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu as well. So this is nothing he said, I've done anything, this is nothing new that he said he has done. Rather, it was a practice in the time of Umar bin Khattab and Abu Bakr that the commanders or the commanders used to be given some portion from the 1/5 of the spoils of war. That means the spoil of war to be divided into 5 parts, into 5 shares, and 4 shares to be distributed among the soldiers, whereas the 5th part to be reserved for the caliphate or for the public, for the Baitul Mal or for public exchequer, from which the caliph was allowed or entitled to give to the person whom he felt right for that for the share. So that's what he has also done, that from the 1/5 of the spoils of war he had given that booty the 1/5 from the 1/5 to the governor Abdullah bin Sa'd for his services. So that is what and that is he said that he referred also to the practice of this practice, that this was a practice which in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar bin Khattab as well. So there is nothing new or no violation of any rule of Sharia. In fact, so this was a convincing answer which was satisfying to the objector who had posed objection. The second question was that he was generous to his relatives. He was generous to relatives. This was the second question, and how he was generous, that he had made his governors as he has made his relatives governors. He has made, the second objection is that he had made his relatives governors of different territories. And the example was given, cited that of Muawiyah, the governor of Syria, as well as that of Abdullah bin Sa'd, the governor of the Egypt, as well as that of Sa'id bin As, the governor of Kufa, and other Walid bin Uqba, as well as the governor of Kufa, who was before the before Sa'id bin As. So these governors, namely, were cited, objecting that these are the that they have been appointed as the governors being the relatives of Osman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So Osman bin Affan radiallahu anhu replied on this objection that they are not my relatives, first of all. He said they are not my relatives, first of all. Number two, he said that any governor against whom he received any complaint, he was ready to depose them. For example, he said that Walid bin Uqba was deposed from the governorship of Kufa for the reason that he was accused of wine drinking, which was proved, and he was accordingly punished, and was replaced by another man, Sa'id bin Anas. So he said that I am still ready to depose any governor against whom any complaint is received. So he said that he was not in the favor of any governor, and nor any governor was his relative. So that also was a convincing reply and an answer that was given by the Caliph Usman bin Affan to the one who had objected to this point as well. There was another objection, and that was that he had appointed young governors. And this example was cited of the governor of Basra, that Abdullah bin Amir, that he was being a young man appointed as governor. The Caliph replied that being a young is not a fault, but he was quite capable in dealing with the things with his full wisdom, which was, and he proved himself to be one of the significant and successful governor of Basra. So being young is not a fault, is not a demerit. So that is not a point of objection to be made, that the young man is to be is appointed as governor. Abdullah bin Amr is the man who had countered who had faced the Persian uprising and successfully had taken over the territories of Persia, looting the uprising of Persia once again after his movement from Basra to Persia. So he has been successful in expeditions in removing the uprisings of Persia as well in the Persian territories. So that way he was a very successful governor, and being young was not a demerit, is not a point of objection. So this way, this third objection was also replied by the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu with quite convincing points and convincing and logical argument, which also gave satisfaction to the audience. Another question was raised that he has been very much kind to the relatives by giving them abundant gifts and precious gifts. So the reply of Usman bin Affan, the Caliph of Islam, was that yes, he has been very much kind to his relatives, and yes, he has been giving them abundant gifts. So all that was from his own possession, from his own wealth, from his own money. He said that even for myself, I used not to take a single dirham from the Baitul Mal. So what about to give to the relatives from the Baitul Mal? He said that when I myself is not taking a single dirham from Baitul Mal, so what of thinking to give the people or my relatives from Baitul Mal? Whatever they were being given, that all was from my own personal account, my own possession, from my own money. and I have right to give to anyone whatever I like to give from the gifts and from the possession, from wealth or from money. So there is no point of objection. So this was a very strong answer and a strong reply, which again he gave to the one who had objected. So this way, there was another objection which was raised to him, and that was that his camels, the camels of the Caliph Usman bin Affan, are allowed to graze on the grazing ground which are reserved for him only. Again, the objection was that the land, the grazing grounds have been reserved for the grazing of your camels. So the answer was that he said that when I assume caliphate, I have the highest number of camels with me in my possession. But now, by the end, I have only two camels with me, and they are only for the journey to Makkah for Hajj. Number one. Number two, he said, yes, they are reserved ground for camel grazing, but they are reserved by the state for the state camels, not for my camels. So the state camels only graze on these reserved grounds. That was the second point of the answer. The first of all, my own camels, there are no camel of mine. So what about the grazing camels? Are not my camel actually, they are the state camel which are grazing on the reserved place which has been allotted by the for the state. My camels have been given them out to the people and my relatives. I had the highest number of camels, but now no more. There are only two camels left with me now, and it was only for the reason that I have to go for Hajj to Makkah. So that was in the use of my journey to and fro from Makkah. So now, it was also a very strong answer which he was given by the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So it was meant that he was no way found at any fault from any point or objection which was posed to him. Whether from his spendings, which were all from his personal account, whether the appointment of governors, which was again he was ready, and he was said that I was before as well ready, and now as well ready to remove or depose any governor found in at fault. So there is, I am not the governors are not my relatives, and I am not going to favor them anyway. They are the governors who are supposed to work according to the Sharia. If there are shortcomings on their part, so they are to be deposed within no time, as he has been doing before as well. Like the example of Walid bin Uqba is there, who was found while drinking or while vomiting. So he was removed from the place and he was replaced by the next man, that was Sayyid bin As. So he said that there is no point of favoring. They are not, first of all, my relatives. Amin Muawiyah was not appointed by the Caliph Usman. He was appointed by the Caliph Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, number one. So there is no. So he is also from his own tribe, but he was not appointed by the Caliph Usman. He was appointed by the second Caliph, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, as a governor of Damascus. So he clarified his position with all success, with all satisfaction, with all confidence, and that was also felt by the audience as well. So now there was another point that was raised, that when he went to Makkah, he did not perform Qasr prayer, rather he performed his full prayer while he was on the journey from Medina to Makkah. So he should have performed Qasr. So his reply was that, yes, I have performed Qasr, I have not performed Qasr in Makkah, despite being traveler on the journey, for the reason that I have my family members in Makkah. Since I have my family members in Makkah, I am allowed to offer my full prayer and not Qasr in Makkah as well. This was again a convincing argument, a convincing reply given to the people in audience by the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And this way the whole gathering then was concluded with the satisfactory answer received by the audience from the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. May Allah bless his soul, may Allah elevate his ranking, and may Allah bless us with the understanding of the true people, or the great people who really sacrifice their lives for the sake of the unity of the Muslim Ummah. He could have done with iron hands to all these elements, but he did nothing to any one of them, for the reason that he didn't want the bloodshed within the Muslim Ummah in his lifetime. As he had said before, that I don't want the blame to be put on me, although the trouble is bound to come. But he, at the cost of his life, he sacrificed his own life to save the unity of the Muslim Ummah, at least by his own presence in his life, that bloodshed should not be caused within the Muslim community, within the Muslim Ummah, because those who were rioters were also belonging to Muslim community, and those who were now to go and punish them were also from the Muslim community. So the swords were now going to be raised from the Muslim against the Muslim, which he never wished, at least in his lifetime, at least in his caliphate. And for that reason, he was ready and prepared to sacrifice his own life to save the Muslim unity, to save the Muslim from bloodshed, to save from the Muslim from massacre, to save the Muslim from dichotomy or disunity or striking one against another by the swords, which never happened before. And till now, he didn't want, at least till the last day of his life. So this is how the meeting was concluded, and this was the last meeting which was concluded. After this, the public audience also left. The governor of Damascus or the Syria, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and Amr bin As radiallahu anhu were also present. So Amr bin As now counseled with the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, saying that, O Caliph, you have been too polite to deal with the affairs, and this your politeness has led people to rise against you. And he said that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was so much strong that the governors, thousands miles away from him, used to shiver from him more than the servants at his service in Medina. That was the remarks of Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, complaining. Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu said with his trait of being very extreme politeness, which has led the way for the people to exploit his politeness, taking that politeness as weakness and exploiting this point to the extent that they went to assassinate the great Caliph of Islam, Usman bin Affan. May Allah bless his soul. May Allah really give us the true understanding of our great leaders, our great caliphs, who were really admired not only by the people, by Allah and his Prophet as well. That the Prophet ﷺ said once that angels show modesty to Usman for the reason he shows modesty to Allah and his Messenger. And other hadiths are also there which admired and praised the great Caliph Usman bin Affan. And he is the only person in the world history who was married to two daughters of a Prophet. Never happened before, and never will happen, after, because there is no Prophet to come. So never happened before as well, whom was given two daughters of a Prophet, except the only and the only man, the blessed person, the most fortunate person, Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, who was given two daughters in marriage by the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namely Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and after her death in the second year of Hijrah, the third daughter, Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, who also got married to the same son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Usman bin Affan. So we cannot imagine their highest ranking they have in the paradise, the company they will have, and they have with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the paradise. That is beyond our imagination. For the reason they have rendered the sacrifices, the services for Islam are just beyond our approach. We cannot even touch to the understanding of these great personalities. What they had done for Islam is really unprecedented, and only that is credited to them only. What they had done for their own betterment on the Day of Judgment and in the Paradise to achieve the highest ranking, which they had really achieved by bearing all the hardships and sacrifices till the last moment when he was ready to lay his life even to save the Muslim from slipping to the bloodshed, to the pool of bloodshed, or to the pool of disunity or dichotomy, as he has done the landmark sacrifice. Although he was a caliph at one order, these elements, these rights could be, their heads could be cut off within no time, as was suggested by one of the governors as well, to eliminate them right from the face of the earth. But the caliph said, I will never go beyond the limits of Sharia. And again he said that I would not like to be blamed for any way in my life. And this way the council or the meeting of Medina was then over, and Amr bin As also shared his feeling with the caliph that you have been too polite to the people which had led them to rise against you. And this Umar bin Khattab, the peak governors thousands miles away from him, used to be so much at alert that no one could dare to feel any way easy or to feel any way thinking otherwise or wrong way to rise, not thinking of rising, rather to think to disobey anyway the caliph stationed in Medina. So that was, and this was the feelings of the expression of Amr bin As. Now the governor of Syria, Amin Muawiyah, he also then counseled, and he said that he suggested Usama bin Affan radiallahu anhu, saying that I am afraid of your life, so I advise you to accompany me to Syria, and the people of Syria are loyal and they are faithful to me, so they will give you honor and you will be protected. Amin Muawiyah, when he received this suggestion of Amin Muawiyah, Usman bin Affan, the caliph of Islam, replied that I will never leave the proximity of the Prophet's city of Medina. He said, I will never prefer to go out of Medina to any place. I will prefer to live in Medina and to be buried in Medina. This was his attachment to the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was having the fear of his life, yet his life was at risk, but yet he was not ready to leave the city of Medina, for the reason that his Prophet was in Medina. So he also wanted to remain in the company of his Prophet and to be buried in his city, in the city of the Prophet, to be in the proximity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which ultimately happened so that his grave is now in the proximity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannatul Baqi. May Allah send thousands of blessings to his grave, to his soul, for the great sacrifice he laid down for the Muslim Ummah, to save the Muslim Ummah from bloodshed in his life. And this is where he set a shining example. Then Muawiyah said, okay, then let me send an army to you for your safety, for your protection from Syria, who will guard your residence. The reply of Usman bin Affan, the caliph of Islam, was that I don't want my neighbors to be put into trouble due to my guard and to my security and my safety, for the reason that my neighbors should be given ease and not difficulties or not trouble by the troops to be stationed and guarding and positioned around my house, putting my neighbors into trouble. So this suggestion was also not accepted by the Caliph Usman bin Affan. And then Amir Muawiyah said that you are bound to be deceived. Then the Caliph Usman replied that Allah is enough for me and the best supporter He is. And this way Amin Muawiyah was then remained quiet, and he did not speak anymore to suggest anything to the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. While on his leaving to Syria, he just went to call on to Ali radiallahu anhu and other companions, Ubayr and Antala radiallahu anhu, requesting them to take care of the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And this way he left for Syria, and then the whole meeting was now over and all people left back to their places. And this way, this was the last moments of last days of his life, which were totally at risk. And people were suggesting him different ways, either to leave Medina or to let them send the troops to safeguard, to guard him, or to kill the elements. But all these suggestions, all these opinions, he just kept aside, for the reason that he wanted not anything wrong to be on his part. First of all, not to leave Medina, for the reason that his Prophet was there in Medina and he wanted to be buried in his Prophet's city. Number two, for the guards would put the neighbors of his into trouble, so he didn't want to cause trouble to his neighbors by his own self-guarding by the people. Similarly, he also didn't want to kill the people for the reason of their rising against the Caliph, because that will be causing bloodshed within the Muslim community, which had never happened before. Why he did not want to break the example of the predecessors who had preceded him, like the Caliph Abu Bakr and Umar bin Khattab. So he said, so long as I am alive, in my lifetime, in my presence, no bloodshed of a Muslim to be caused by a Muslim, or no sword should be raised against the sword of another Muslim. And for that reason, he did not allow again the killing of these people who were troublemakers. So this way, all the ultimate option was that he was ready to sacrifice. This was the last option which was left for, after all the deliberations and conferences and meetings and gatherings in Makkah al-Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. The last point left was that he was ready to sacrifice his life, and he did really the same, that he let his sacrifice by accepting assassination, but giving this all to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to judge and decide on the day of judgment, that who was whom and what was who was right and what was his fault, or what was his innocence. That all he left to the Lord of his own for the day of judgment, when he was reciting the last verses of his in the last moments of his life. The verses also have the same meaning, that فَسَيْكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ, that Allah will suffice them who have done this all troubles to you. So وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, and He is all hearing and all knowing. This verse were actually were addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was also put into trouble by the pagans of Makkah and the troublemakers. So Allah revealed the verse to his Prophet, addressing that Allah will suffice them against you. And similarly, same verses were now being recited by the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, saying that Allah will suffice them whatever they are troubling, and Allah is enough for you. The one who is all hearing, all knowing. Because whatever was happening was all within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was all listening, whatever and whoever was speaking. So this is how the event of the gathering in Medina also, and the objections were also clarified and were replied adequately. The next and the last is that of events of 35 AH, and this event is the event of just Abdullah bin Sabah, who was now at his final touch of the plan, and that was now these people now is ready to start moving from different cities. And Abdullah bin Sabah himself was not interested as to who should be the next caliph, but he was more interested how to remove the caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu from the caliphate or from the office of caliphate. So he was, but his people were divided into three groups, one siding with Ali radiallahu anhu, second siding with Talha radiallahu anhu, and third siding with Zubair radiallahu anhu. And one group was in favor of Ali radiallahu anhu, and the second in the favor of Zubair and Talha radiallahu anhu remain. So this way, the group of Abdullah bin Sabah was divided into three subgroups. One in the favor of Ali, one in the favor of Usman, one in the favor of Zubair, and the third in the favor of Talha radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So these three groups, these three subgroups, although were under the leadership of Abdullah bin Sabah, but they stationed, when they stationed out of Medina, they stationed and encamped into three different separate places, so that they could follow their own pursuit. Now this was a departure of the mischief mongers in the pretext of Hajj, because such a huge gathering once departed from a city could have created doubts to the governor. So they have first of all divided themselves into hundreds of people, so that their group could not be noticed by the governor or administrative functionaries, number one. Number two, they departed from their cities in the pretext of Hajj. They departed from Shawwal, the month after Ramadan, in the pretext that the season of Hajj is falling. So they are moving all from Kufa, Basra, and Egypt to perform Hajj. So this way they have the pretext, one of being on the journey to Hajj, and second, they were divided into only hundreds, not to make a big group to give them impression to the governors of any doubt about them, as they may not be going for any mischief. So this way those two strategies were planned and accordingly followed. When they have reached to Medina, these mischief mongers, as I told you, that they were divided into three groups, one in the favor of Ali radiallahu anhu, the one in the favor of Zubair, and the one in the favor of Talha bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. So these three subgroups have stationed in different separate places and separate camps out of Medina. Now a few leaders or the few prominent figures of this group entered into Medina and counseled with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Talha, Zubair, and Ali radiallahu anhu, as well as they also counseled with the mothers of faithful, but they received only a condemnation on the ideas they shared with the caliphs and the mother, with the companions and the mother of faithful. So they were discouraged and they turned back disappointed after they had counseled with the companions their idea or their plan that they wanted this or that. So that all was discouraged, and the companions also rejected outright their ideas. So they were now discouraged and disappointed. In this way, they after consultation and after counseling or after meeting with their companions, went back to the camps they have come from, which were stationed out of Medina. Now, after that, when their plan seemed not to be realized, and when they went back from Medina after meeting the prominent figures, all have all have condemned their plan and their movement and their thoughts. So now they were disappointed. They thought their plan is no more to be in action. So they turned back to the camps once again. Now another development appeared, and that was that the group who had come from Egypt. The group who had come from Egypt, the leader of that group called on Ali radiallahu anhu once again and demanded that we will not leave Medina until the governor of Egypt is replaced. So when this demand Ali radiallahu anhu saw, and he found that they are very staunch and they will not be able to, and they will not move anyway until this demand is fulfilled, otherwise they may create some further trouble. So he requested and he called on the Caliph Abu Osman bin Affan radiallahu anhu and requested him to fulfill the demands of this group of Egypt to replace the governor with another man, so that they could go back and leave the city of Medina peacefully and could avoid any riots or any trouble from to happen further. So Swami Nafaradiyanono agreed on this point, and he asked that whom should be the next person to be replacing the governor of Egypt, Abdullah bin Sa'd. So the name was proposed, that was of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, to be the man to replace the previous governor Abdullah bin Sa'd in Egypt. So this way the Caliph had now written a letter to the governor of Egypt, Abdullah bin Sa'd, and this letter had also contained the name of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr to be the next governor in place of the governor Abdullah bin Sa'd. So after writing this letter, and this letter was then given to the people of Egypt, so that they could now leave the place. And then this way, by the recommendation of Ali radiallahu anhu, who had now given this suggestion, the group of Egypt along with the other two groups left Medina peacefully, and then but since the group was bent upon the actually removing the Caliph, they did not actually have anything other than the removal of the Caliph himself, and they don't want anyway, in fact, the change of governors. It was all only the pretext which they were making, ultimately coming to the goal of assassinating or killing the Caliph or removing the Caliph, which was the ultimate goal or purpose. So after 3 days, two or three days after leaving Medina, after 3 days, they turned back crying the Takbir Allahu Akbar in Medina. When Ali radiallahu anhu found the group again entering into Medina, he was shocked to see, and he asked them, what made you come back when you have been when your demand have been your demand has been fulfilled? They said that we have caught a letter from the Caliph, from his servant, in which it was written to that it was written that the governor of Egypt, it was addressed to the governor of Egypt, that when we this group reached Egypt, we should all be killed. Now Ali radiallahu anhu said, observing their expression and their language, he said, by Allah, you are to deceive and ill-intentioned. Because Ali radiallahu anhu also now recognized them, that they are not actually coming to the truth, rather they are trying to deviate from the truth and trying to ultimately cause damage to the Caliphate and to the people of Medina. So he said, by Allah, you are, he said that by Allah, this is an act of conspiracy, and this is an act of conspiracy, and you are ill intention. These were the words of Ali radiallahu anhu to the group who had entered once again in Medina, claiming that they have got a letter which was addressed to the governor of Egypt, asking him to kill us when we reach Medina, when we reach Egypt. When this letter was, when the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu also learned about this letter, he said, "By Allah, I did not write this letter. This is a forgery. This is a forged document. This is a forged letter which has been used as a, in the pretext and in the context of removing the caliph, which was taking the letter as a shield and taking the letter as a justification to remove the caliphate, to remove the caliph. Whereas the fact is that the caliph had never written any letter to any way, which the caliph had clarified his position not one time. Repeatedly he clarified his position and his instance that this is by Allah, I have not written this letter, this is not my written letter. But they did not accept this clarification of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu himself, and they carried on their now slogans and saying that we will not leave this city of Medina until we remove the caliph. Now they were now bent upon the caliph ultimately, which was their ultimate goal for which they had set out from Kufa, Basra and Egypt. When Ali radiallahu anhu saw this situation and all the developments were there, and they besieged the house of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, so the caliph companion Ali radiallahu anhu sent his two sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, to guard at the door of the caliph's house and not to let the rioters into the caliph's house. Similarly, in the same way, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu sent his son Abdullah bin Zubair, as well as Talha radiallahu anhu also sent his son. So the three prominent companions, the three distinctive companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent their sons to guard the caliph's house from the entry of the rioters. So this way Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Abdullah bin Zubair and other sons of the companions were armed, locked position at the doors and at the roof of the caliph's house, so that they could stop any movement or any entry into the house from the rioter side. Similarly, the caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu had also written a number of letters to different governors of the territories to come to help to help in that situation of which was prevailing now in Medina. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu had now there on the depart, as well as Amir Muawiyah has also sent his army, as well as Kufa, the governor has also been on the help. Whereas in Egypt, Abdullah bin Saad was also in the help. He himself had set out to rescue. So a number of governors have managed to send help to the caliph, but before their help reached Medina, the caliph had been besieged and have been assassinated by the rioters. And this siege lasted for 40 days of the caliph's house, to the extent that the caliph was not allowed to proceed to the Prophet's mosque to lead the prayer. Then the caliph in his place appointed Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu to lead the prayer, and even Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was stopped from leading the prayer, and one of the chief of the rioters then took the position of leading the prayer in the mosque. And this way the house was also besieged and the water supply was also cut off from the caliph's house. So this was the severe situation where the prophet, where the caliph was undergoing. But the caliph And then Abu Huraira radiallahu also came out and fell on the rioters, fighting with them. But the Caliph Uthman called him back with his repeated insistence, because the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu did not want any single Muslim to be engaged in the fight with another Muslim at so long as he was alive. Similar, so for the reason Abu Huraira then came back, and after his insistence not to engage into fight, similarly Abu Huraira, the Caliph also asked his guards who were standing in his from the sons of the companions not to engage into fight with the rioters, and he was insistently convincing the sons of the companions who were guarding the Caliph not to anyway attack the rioters. And he was then reciting some of the verses of the Quran which were in fact in the support of his position, and that not to go for any way. For example, he said, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَاهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. He recited this verse also, as well as he recited other verses, asking his guards not to fall on the rioters and not to fight with the rioters. And he also asked Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he also asked Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu to leave back for his place. But Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu did not accept, and he kept on guarding the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. This way the guard were there with the arm locked position on the roof, as well as in the as well as on the doors. But the rioters were also were informed that the troops or the forces have also been dispatched from different territories by the governors to rescue this situation, and they are about to reach in Medina. So they themselves were having the pressure of that development, and they wanted to finish up this story in a hurry. So they devised another strategy of that breaking into another house, into neighbor, and from there scaling the wall into the house of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And that way they enter into the Caliph's house. When they entered the room, none guard was there. The guards were on the roof and they were on the door. So the Caliph was alone and with his wife Naila radiallahu anha in the room. When they entered, they tried to strike. Naila radiallahu anha rushed forward to prevent their strike, but her fingers were cut off by the swords, and then the strike were and they struck the Caliph radiallahu anhu with their swords, and this way the Caliph radiallahu anhu was martyred by the hands of these rioters. And then they fled from the place. They fled the place. And Naila radiallahu anha then shouted and called for the help from the guards who were on the roof. When they rushed back down to the room, the rioters had fled by the time. And this way, the Caliph, the third Caliph of Islam, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, may Allah bless him, may Allah give his soul eternal peace and eternal bliss. And elevate his ranking and give us that strength to follow his path of sacrifice whenever required, and to follow the degree of patience he showed, the degree of sacrifice he had exhibited, that all are really worthy to be followed. The footsteps he left for the Muslim Ummah are really worthy to be followed, that in order to save the Muslim Ummah from disunity or dichotomy, he led his life in that cause. And this way the third Caliph of Islam was assassinated on 17th Dhul-Hijj 35 AH. And this the Caliphate of third Caliphate of Islam had come to its end. And the writers, although after killing the caliph, stayed in Medina for further days, and that we inshallah see in the next session. With this, we conclude this session. سبحانك اللهم أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.